The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Morning, everyone.
Good morning, all.
It's good to see you all on this beautiful Sunday morning, now the 24th Sunday in ordinary time. And now we see our Lord heading up to Caesarea Philippi, which is up in the northern part of Israel, right on the border, I guess, of current-day Jordan, that area. And he's on his way up there, and he asks his disciples a question: "Who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am?" Peter makes his famous confession of faith, right? "You are the Christ." And then Jesus does something remarkable. He makes his first prediction of his passion, of what's going to happen to him, how he's going to be rejected by the elders and scribes. And Peter doesn't like that plan. He thinks it's a bad plan, Jesus, not a good plan. And so he takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. And Jesus then does something quite remarkable. And if you really think about it on the surface, it's very striking. Jesus turns to Peter and publicly makes sure that everybody else can hear what he's saying to Peter. Like, he doesn't do this in private. It says here explicitly that he turned and looking at his disciples. So his disciples are there, Peter's there, and he looks at him and he goes, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as human beings do, not as God does, but as human beings do." It'd be like if I called Roger up here and said, "Roger, stand right here. Get behind me, Roger." Right? It would be a tremendous thing to do, to call Peter, the first pope, Satan, get behind me. But here's the thing. What's really behind Peter's objection to Jesus' plan? At the heart of it is that Peter doesn't trust Jesus enough. You trust him a little bit, absolutely. He's a disciple. He follows Jesus. He's close to him. He's probably close enough to be considered the leader of the apostles at this point. But still, he doesn't trust enough. He objects to his plan, and he says no. But aren't we like that? Amen? We are so like Peter. We're disciples. We follow our Lord. We're close, but we so easily want to counsel God sometimes and tell him, no, God, do this. This is not, you know, the way things are going, you should probably fix this. We want to counsel God and tell him our plan, right? And make it done according to our will instead of his. We're so like him. And then ultimately, our Lord doubles down on this whole his plan way of going about things. And he says that if you want to be a disciple, you got to take up your cross and follow him. You got to deny yourself and follow with your cross. And whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. A tremendous thing. To deny ourselves, to take up our crosses willingly. In other words, to suffer with Jesus willingly is at the heart of what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. But let's be honest, guys. Can I be honest with you guys this morning? I know it's early, but can I be honest? It's hard. Huh? Amen?
Amen.
It's hard to suffer. It's hard to suffer, and it's hard to suffer gracefully, to do it in such a way that we don't despair, that we don't curse God, and that we embrace suffering like our Lord did, willingly. Do you remember the movie that came out several years ago, back in 2004, called The Passion of the Christ? Very graphic movie. Do you remember this one? Jesus got very beat up, bloody, very, very graphic depiction of the crucifixion. Y'all remember this? Amen?
Amen.
There was one scene in the movie, and if you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend going to see it. But there is one scene, I try to remember it in your mind, or at least try to picture it with me. There's this moment where our Lord has been condemned already. He's been scourged, so he's very weak, bloodied. And they lead him to the front gate. And he goes to the gate, and they push him down, and they throw a cross that he's going to carry down the road up to Calvary. And the cross seems like it's very big, and they just kind of throw it at our Lord, and it hits the ground with a loud thump, and it kind of rattles around. And our Lord kind of creeps over to it because he's so beat up. And he picks up the cross with two hands, and he holds it next to his bloody face, and he embraces it with two hands, and he kind of holds, it seems like he's hugging the cross, almost as if instead of like not accepting it, he accepts it with two hands and embraces it, thus depicting to us that our Lord is willingly accepting this cross. But it's hard to do that. It is not easy. And God knows that about ourselves. He knows that our bodies are very much a part of who we are, and that the way our bodies feel very much influences our person. We can't escape it. He knows that. He made us, after all, right? And so our Lord gave us a special sacrament. He gave us a special sacrament to help us in these most dire of times, in these times in which sickness and death are a danger or are very near. It's called the anointing of the sick. Some people, and in the past, it used to be called last rites. Do y'all know, you know what I'm talking about, last rites? The church has gotten away from calling it last rites. We should now call it anointing of the sick. Because when you call it last rites, it gives the connotation or the thinking that it's only to be administered when you're on your deathbed right before you die. Like you should call a priest, like 10 minutes, but like right when the doctor's saying, oh, it could be any minute now. Like that's the only time you should get last rites. And that's not true. Now certainly you should get it certainly right before you die, but the ideal thing about the anointing of the sick is that it should be given immediately when death becomes a serious danger or is in its close proximity. I'll give you an example. Last Saturday, on September 8th, I celebrated a funeral of a wonderful woman from our parish, Miss Jean Bonin. And she was a wonderful lady. I'm sure many of you knew her. And she was fine for a long time. There's nothing really that wrong with her. Until about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks now, she had a fall. I think she broke something. She went to the hospital. And in the hospital, contracted a bunch of complications. I think there was an infection involved. And it got to the point where the doctors couldn't really help her anymore. And her organs started to shut down, and things got irreversibly bad for her. And so they sent her home with hospice. And she lives, you know, down, I think, on Romero Road. And she, her family immediately called me when she got home with hospice. So I went over there, and I was able to minister to her and talk to her. I was able to hear her confession and just talk with the family and to be there for them during that time. And as a family, I was able to give them the anointing, give her the anointing of the sick. And in that giving of the sacrament, in the anointing of the sick, Miss Jean received special grace, and all people who receive the anointing of the sick receive a special grace. And the grace that is given is the ability, the supernatural ability, to accept sufferings willingly and to unite them to Jesus on the cross. It's a supernatural ability. It's not easy to do it by ourselves naturally. And so our Lord knows this, and he gives us this ability in the anointing of the sick. And she received it. And during the next 2 weeks of her suffering at home, she was able to join her sufferings to Jesus' on the cross, and thus, in that joining, make her sufferings meritorious with Jesus's, and winning grace for not only herself, but her family and our church. Just as Jesus' death and suffering was meritorious to win salvation, so too was Miss Jean's sufferings, through the grace of the anointing of the sick, joined to Jesus' sufferings on the cross and became meritorious for her and for us. That's what anointing the sick does. And so over the next several weeks, over the course of her suffering, I was able to go back to her and see her when things got really bad. I think I ended up anointing her 3 times. Once at the beginning, once towards the middle, and finally, last, would have been, so it would have been like the morning of September, like 5th, I guess, or 6th, maybe. In that morning, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I went over to their home, went over to her home, and anointed her one last time. And eventually she passed away about 6 o'clock that morning. And she did so, from what I understand, in a very peaceful way. So, what am I saying? What am I trying to say, at least? The Lord knows that we're suffering. And he knows that whenever things get rough, he wants to be with us. If you know somebody who is suffering, or in the future is suffering and is dying, or maybe even yourself, make sure your spouse or your children know this. Don't wait until the very last moment to call me. In other words, let Jesus come see you earlier so that you can receive the anointing sick while you're still somewhat lucid. Go to confession and let the Lord walk with you during your suffering, because he wants more than anything to walk with you while you're suffering. But if you wait to the last moment, there's only so much he can do. Our Lord wants us, in other words, to see that suffering is not the worst thing of all time. But yet it's bad, but through it, we can grow closer to him and become who we are truly meant to be. So today at this Mass, let's renew our commitment to follow Jesus, to take up our cross willingly, to not be so afraid of suffering, knowing that in our suffering, our Lord will be there for us. And he gave us a special sacrament to make sure that he's there with us. Let's renew our confidence in our Lord and thank him for being with us on this road, on this pilgrim road, this valley of tears back to heaven. Today at this Mass, let's renew that confidence so that we might not be afraid of anything, including suffering. Amen?
Amen. Amen.